Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Voices for Victory podcast. I'm your host, Mick McDonald. Today, we're joined by someone who is perhaps associated with Jim Valvano more than any other public figure. The star of NC State's 1983 national championship winning men's basketball team, Derek Wittenberg. Who was Jim looking to hug in the famous clip of him running around the floor at the pit in Albuquerque after the Wolfpack's miracle victory over Houston in the national championship game? Well, it was Derek, of course. Derek has long been an integral member of the V Foundation team. And today we chat about when he first met Jim, the legacy of that 1983 team, and why staying involved with the V Foundation over all these years has always been so important to him. And now, our conversation with Derek Wittenberg.
And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day.
And we are now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by Derek Wittenberg. Derek, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us today.
Well, thank you.
I got a lot I want to get into with you today and talk about, but to start with, I want to talk a little bit about your relationship with Coach Valvano, because I know how close you were and how much that relationship's kind of made the importance of the V Foundation to you a continued importance throughout your life. So to get us started, what do you remember about the first time you and Coach Valvano ever met?
Well, it really goes back to high school. I played as a senior at a tournament, AAU tournament called the Boston Shootout. Valvano, after we played a great game, came up and grabbed me and Sidney Lowe on the neck and says, "You know, I'm Jim Valvano from Iona College." And we attended NC State. And then a year later, Valvano come to us and come to NC State to the press conference. And I see him, and I leaned over to my teammates and I said, "You know, that's the guy, Jim Valvano, that owns a college." But he actually said he came from Iona College. And so I tell that story to every banquet, every dinner, everybody laughs. But that's really the first time I ever met him. What a personality, a guy that lights up the room. And I tell you, we really took to him from the first time we saw him at the press conference.
Yes, I love that. I've heard you tell that story before, Derek, and I just love it. I thought our listeners needed to hear it because I love it. And yeah, a lot of people, I think, you know, they know the story of you playing for Jim, but they don't know that, you know, he wasn't your coach your freshman year at NC State. You know, you played for Norm Sloan your first year there. When Jim comes to the team, I mean, you know, you have that moment where, hey, that's the guy that owns a college. But after that, once you start practicing and start getting to know him a little bit, what was he like as a coach? What was your and obviously you're with Sidney too, who had met him before. What were your guys' reactions to him as a coach when you first met him?
I think a lot of enthusiasm. He was a big dreamer. He talked about winning the national championship. He always talked about being a family. He wanted to have fun. He made practice fun. But the one thing that stuck out to me the most, the three things he talked about: I'm going to look at you as a person, and a student and a player third. And I thought that was significant, that showed that, you know, he cared about us much more than basketball. And the other thing that struck me is that he said, "You can come by my office and talk about anything. We don't have to talk about basketball. I want to spend time with you. I want to build a relationship with you." And I took him up on it. We had many conversations in the office. I really enjoyed that. But more importantly, he was a player's coach, and he was very open, very approachable, and a guy that really cared and believed in us.
And I think that's so evident, you know, through the, if anyone hasn't seen the 30 for 30 that I know you were a big part of, Survive in Advance, I can't recommend it enough. It just, I think all of the guys from the team who participated in that, you can tell, you know, their reverence and how much they really love Coach Valvano more than a coach, of course, but as, you know, a father figure and even a friend. So in that 83 season, which obviously is legendary and everyone knows the story, but, you know, you had to fight through injuries that year. I wonder, as a competitor, and I know you're a really competitive guy, how tough was it to deal with injuries and have to watch your team go through some struggles that you guys went through that season?
Well, it was a critical year. Obviously, our senior year and a last chance we have to go to the national championship, make something happen. And first 3 years didn't happen for us. And North Carolina had won the championship in 1982, so the pressure was on. And we was having a great season. I believe we were in the top 25. We played Virginia in the national championship game. And I got 27 at half, and it come out in halftime, I break my foot. And don't know if I'm going to ever play college basketball again. Unbeknownst to everybody, I did the same injury, the opposite foot, at DeMatha High School. And we came back and won the city championship and won our hamper. So in the back of my mind, I knew it was possible. Everybody else in the country didn't know it was possible. So I had a positive attitude about it, but still you're in the unknown. And after our team took a little slide when I was out, and then they really recovered and got on a winning streak, and then I came back and joined the team, that's when I knew that, everything was possible. That team has gotten better. So my whole thought process coming back was that, yes, I was anxious to come back. I came back with a foot that was probably about 75-80% healed. I incurred a lot of pain. I never told anybody that. And I was just so anxious to get back out there and try to help my team going forward. We didn't know where we were going at the time because the ACC was tough. I mean, you had North Carolina was number two in the country, Virginia was number one. So we knew at that point when I came back, we had to make a run in order to get in the NCAA tournament.
And of course, you guys go on the iconic run through the ACC tournament and then through the NCAA tournament too. And one of, maybe the most iconic image from any NCAA tournament, let alone certainly that one, is Coach Valvano's running around after the title game looking for someone to hug. We know who he was looking for, right? So how did the whole post-game hug with Coach start with you guys? How did kind of let everyone know about that story and how that came to be and led to that iconic moment?
It really started in our first game when we beat Wake Forest in the ACC tournament. I don't know what got into me. Me and Jimmy were very close. We almost had, we had a coach-player relationship. We almost had a father-son relationship. And we spent a lot of time together. So I was so happy to come back. And I'll tell you a quick story. When I initially got hurt and the doctors told Jimmy knocked down the door. He was in disgust. He later came back and told me that I'm going to come back like Willis Reed did in the seventh game with the Knicks. The 70s, you're going to come help us win the championship. I never forget him telling me that. So I felt like I wanted to come back and just fulfill this dream and do something for my coach, right? I got this admiration for my coach. So we win, and he puts out there surviving advance, but something after the game made me come over and just I wanted to pick him up and hug him and say, hey, we want another one for you, Jimmy. And I just kept doing that for 9 straight games. Nobody told me to do it. I didn't know when I was going to do it, but I did it for 9 straight games until the championship. I was running around. I went to my parents' section first. I said, let me hug my parents first, and then I'll come back and have Jimmy. And he was looking for me, and everybody was just running around, just hysterical. And then he finally found me, and he said, where were you? And I said, look, let me just give you a hug right now. So that's the story of Jimmy running around in the championship looking for somebody to hug.
So you and your teammates were already very close, of course, because of how much you all respected and cared for Coach Valvano. But how much does a run like the one you guys went on in 83 just sort of cement, how important that bond is for you guys?
It taught a lot of people life's lessons, right? Never give up. What team really means, what chemistry and togetherness and roles. I mean, we exemplified all of the above. If you want to put it in corporate terms, we had something that people search for every day in their companies and their families. We had trust, truth, and transparency. Our coach had a vision. He was upfront with us. He was truthful with us, and we trusted each other. And I think once you see that run and what we dealt with through in that run, all the trials and tribulations, it's that's what life is, right? That's why surviving advance was so so telling that that's what we all go through. We're going through a pandemic now. We're going through COVID. We're going through social injustice. You know, this is all part of life. And I think that story and that journey that we took with that team exemplified that, and people just drew to us. And I mean, it's 38 years later, and people are still talking about the 1983 championship team. So it was an extraordinary journey. I'm humbled and happy to be a part of it. And I hope people continue to learn from that journey that we had in 1983.
That's a great point, just how that team has kind of lived on through the years. You know, partially, there's a lot of parts to it, right? The story, the run you had. But I think, you know, a huge part of it, of course, is just how much of a personality and public, a loved public figure that Jim was, right? So, you know, it's almost a decade after the championship team, you know, he gets sick. How did you first find out that he wasn't doing well, and how tough was that for you to deal with for someone you were so close with?
Yeah, it was really tough. And but something in the back of my mind, knowing his personality, knowing his strength and his positive attitude, that we just assumed that he was going to come through it. And we had heard about it, but nobody's ever seen him. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times, and because he was so positive, you just thought to yourself, hey, this is Coach V. He's going to pull out. He was so positive. He was a dynamic speaker, personality, always uplifting, had a great attitude about life. So when we heard that, we just knew the way he perseveres that he was going to come through it. But when he came to that 10-year reunion, and he was walking gingerly, and you could see his face, see the pain, that's when we knew this was a lot more serious than we anticipated. And for what he went through, being fired at NC State, mind you, having a lifetime contract and being the AD and the coach was pretty devastating to our community, to our team. I didn't think he was going to step foot back on NC State campus. So to watch him walk gingerly, probably with a diagnosis that he's probably not going to live very much longer, for him to come back, and I think what drew him back is being part of our team, seeing the guys again, and giving us encouraging words, although he's sick, but he wanted to show strength. And I've heard many stories when he was back in the locker room, they didn't know if he was going to make it. He was back there throwing up and was sick. But when he walked out there in Reynolds Coliseum, man, when Jim Valvano turns it on, it's nothing stopping him. And for him to come in and give us all bows and hugs, it was just a special moment in all of our lives in NC State history and V Foundation history, because he showed what it was like to fight and to share another dream, right? His other dream was not, may not affect him, but he's got to do something going forward to help others and to help his family.
Yeah, Derek, and I'm glad you mentioned the Reynolds reunion, because anyone who's seen clips or the video from that, you know, it's true. It was, you know, Coach Valvano flipping the switch when he needed to, just like people would see a little bit later in his ESPY speech that year. But it's the same kind of story where, you know, people don't know if he's going to go out there, and he goes out and just delivers an amazing performance, just kind of speaks to who he was. And you can see in those clips, if you've seen them, how emotional all of you guys were. Was that sort of just the reality of, like you'd said, where when you just talked to him on the phone, he's positive, you don't really, you know, you figure out he's fine. But seeing him in person at that event, was that just kind of the moment that you and your teammates realized this is probably not going the way we thought and hoped it was going to go?
Yeah, it was surreal. I mean, to watch somebody that you care about and love, and for him to go through that, and cancer at the time was such a mystery. It was back then. It was like a death sentence. If somebody got cancer, you know, everybody gave up hope, but V didn't give up hope, and he moved on. He continued to work with ESPN and ABC as much as he could, even through the pain. But he wanted to show people that he was a fighter. That's his personality. And you couldn't help be emotional about it. And all that you didn't see guys break down, but deep down inside in guys' hearts and in their faces and their emotions were very high. And I just remember leaving there that, you know, is this the last time we're going to see him alive? And so we want to make sure that we cherish this moment because you never know that although as tough and positive as he is, we didn't think he was going to be around much longer.
So he gives his ESPY speech that is obviously now become one of the most legendary speeches of all time, I think. I think it's fair to say that. It launches the V Foundation, of course. And I think to this day, people still look back on his ESPY speech as a motivational tool, as an inspirational tool. What do you remember kind of when you first heard him give that speech at the ESPYs?
I wasn't surprised. That's something that we saw every day, every practice. We saw that passion, enthusiasm for life and the way he can empower and motivate people. That's not a surprise for me, especially I had the opportunity to not just play for him, but I'm the only player on that team that coached with him as well. So I see them in two different lights. And so I've seen this many a time. So I wasn't surprised that it was a powerful send-off for him and sending a message to the world that, number one, you know, it's not going to take my heart, it's not going to take my mind, but I'm always going to have my soul. And those words were heartfelt, and he meant those words, but he was also preparing us for what's happening down the road. Because I think he knew his days were numbered, but he wanted to leave a legacy in his mind, knowing Jimmy, that we got to help others. We got to help people get better. I mean, it may not help me, but it's going to help others. And so I think that he left that mission before he left the earth.
No question. And I think, you know, the V Foundation has awarded more than $260 million in grants since its inception. And I think that's, you know, has done so much in terms of treatments and research that's changing the game and saving more lives. So I think that's a legacy that he would be proud of. Yeah. That's something that you've been a part of for a long time, Derek, as part of the V Foundation team. So kind of walk us through initially your thoughts of being a part of the V Foundation. Was that when it was created, was that something that you said, this is something I got to be a part of and I'm going to be a part of it for as long as I'm around? Or kind of walk us through the initial stages of you getting on board.
Jim Valvano won a legal pad. I actually started the board with several board members, Bob Lloyd, myself, John Saunders, Pam, Steve Bornstein, just a few of us in the beginning. And he did that. He's the one to set the team up initially on a yellow legal pad. I did not ask. I did not campaign to be on. I was chosen. And so for me, it's a calling. It's a mission. It's not a job. I'm passionate about it because I love the man that I work for. But more importantly, I want to be on the team to you know, see this fight go forward. And one thing I think we accomplished in the beginning is not so much that we raised all this money to date and we gave away all these great grants, but at the time, cancer wasn't getting the attention. People didn't know about getting checkups. So it gave some awareness to cancer that how do you get cancer and how do you check yourself out? And I mean, how do we, in the business of cancer, how we can fight it and making people aware to make sure you go to the doctor and it's not going to be a death sentence. You can fight like Coach V did. So it's important to obviously raise money, give away, and let our doctors and researchers really work on finding a cure, but more importantly, the awareness of the cancer world, and not just the V Foundation, but many other organizations that's in the fight as well. So I think mission accomplished in terms of what we've done thus far. Obviously, if Jim was here, he would say we have a long way to go and we got to continue to push on and do well. And I'm just honored and humbled to be a part of it. And the one thing that I do want to keep intact is that the history and the origin of where this began, because I don't want to lose the sight of this was Jimmy V's passion and mission. And I think this is going to be, other than the national championship, this is his legacy of helping people, and maybe one day that we find a cure for cancer.
Yeah, that's really well said, Derek. I think you mentioned the awareness and how important that is, and you know, obviously the co-founders at ESPN who've done so much great work have really helped with that. People, you know, like other board members like Dick Vitale, who've done a great job with awareness, as well as raising money. But like you said, the awareness is really important, and it's allowed the V Foundation to expand and you know, take on some new initiatives and new funds that are really important. And I know the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund is one that is important to you. You know, it takes on disparities in cancer research, which is such an important thing for researchers to look at. What is it about, you know, Stuart Scott and his message in general, and why that fund is so important to you?
Well, we have an outstanding team, you know, with ESPN and George Bodenheimer, Harry Rhodes, Mike McDonald, Larry, I can mention all of them. They all have fulfilled their roles and done a wonderful job, including our staff and our donors, have done a wonderful job in the mission. And everybody's become very passionate about what we do here at the V Foundation. We feel more not just an organization, but this is a team. And this is what Jim would want. And part of our family and our team was Stuart Scott and John Saunders. John Saunders, one of the founding members in the beginning, and we lost him recently. And we started a fund in his name, and then the charismatic Stuart Scott. We started a fund, a memorial fund in his name as well. That's really picking up momentum and trying to help in Stuart Scott's mission. We really wanted to look at the African-American minority areas who are being affected a lot more in the cancer area. So we wanted to focus on that. And that was Stuart Scott's mission, that he wanted to us to pursue that. And we're doing that now. And Stuart Scott showed tremendous fight at the end of his life, and showing people like Jim that it doesn't have to be a death sentence, and you can beat cancer. You can earn a victory, not because you die, but you fight and you show others that you can continue to fight and support others. And I think that's what Stuart Scott left with us. And what Stuart did at the end was courageous. His fight in cancer. And so we hope this memorial fund will help the doctors and the researchers really dig in on the cancer in the minority areas and help them get further along. And more important about the awareness about going to those communities and really providing information and not just research and exposing them to a lot more information to, you know, combat this disease down the road.
Yeah, I think that's important that you mentioned that too, Derek. February is Black History Month, and you know, the numbers in not just cancer diagnosis, but survival rates, but also clinical trial participation and awareness and things like that are you know, discouraging in the Black community. So I think this is a really important fund that can help raise awareness and research dollars and provide opportunities for young African-American researchers who are looking to start their research labs. And I think all those things, you know, are so important for us to focus on, especially as we look at February with Black History Month on someone like Stuart, his legacy. And I think it's important for people to hear from people that look like them on this thing. So I think, you know, having someone like you, Derek, be a outspoken member of the team who's, you know, is willing to say these are things that work, these are important issues, I think is a really important thing to have on the team.
Well, we speak truth to power, right? And this team before Black History Month had raised $10 million in the Stuart Scott Memorial Fund to help our researchers and doctors down the road help find a cure. So we've done work prior to. It's nice to get the acknowledgement during Black History Month, but this work continues throughout the year. And there's multiple cancers and other areas that we must continue, but we also have to be intentional about other areas that hasn't got the same attention as other cancers and other communities. So in Stuart's mission and passion, and we've made that something that we want to focus on and do better in this area. This is a good platform to use during Black History Month. We also want to reiterate that this is an ongoing mission every day, every month going forward, and we want to improve in that area of minorities and cancer.
No question. I'm glad you mentioned that $10 million in that area is an incredible number that I know has come a long way too, and we'll continue to push forward in it. So, Derek, I want to get you out of here with this. We talked a little bit about it earlier, but Jim mentioned in his speech, and I'm sure mentioned many times off camera as well, that he wanted this to be something that might save lives, might save someone you love. I think given all the improvements in medicine and treatments and detection that the research done from awareness and funding from the V Foundation has definitely saved lives. How proud of you, how proud of the foundation are you for how far it's come since its initial early days?
Can't be more proud of our team, our staff, our board members are tremendous. But our donors and the people who are thriving and surviving with cancer, I think we're proud of all of them. It's not a death sentence anymore. We've raised a lot of money for our researchers and doctors, but more important, we're getting the awareness out. There's people around the country, around the world that know what the V Foundation and many other organizations are doing to fight this disease. But this team is really positive and really geared up for the fight going forward. And what you saw what Robin Roberts went through at a very rare cancer, and you can see the work, the research, and you can see some breakthroughs. You can see more people surviving, thriving with cancer. So there's been a lot of progress. But like Jim would say, great job, but let's continue to work. Let's continue to be positive. Let's continue to raise more money. And let's fight this cancer, and one day let's have the victory over cancer. And I think that Jim would be proud, and he also would be saying, I know he's saying to us right now, keep on going, guys, survive in advance.
And we will. We know we got that in our ears every day. I know, Derek. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing some stories with us, and. I know having you as such a key part of our V Foundation team keeps us moving forward every day as well, too. So, Derek, thanks so much for coming on and chatting with us.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks so much to Derek Wittenberg for joining us today. I hope you all enjoyed the conversation. For more on the V Foundation or to make a donation, you can visit v.org. Also, make sure you're following us on all your favorite social media channels at the V Foundation. And if you have a minute, please subscribe to the Voices for Victory podcast wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And if you have a second, a nice review is always appreciated. Once again, I'm your host, Mick McDonald. Until next time.
To me, there are three things we all should do every day. If we do this every day of our life, you're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.